Bibles this evening, if you'll turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, a very familiar passage. What I want to notice in Psalms 23 are some of the places that are mentioned there. Psalms 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In this psalm, there are several places mentioned: green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness, and the valley of the shadow of death. In the Bible, there are many geographical places that are mentioned throughout the Old Testament, places that God's people went, from mountains, wildernesses, valleys. There were Sodoms, there were Egypts, there were gardens, there were deserts. There are many places in the Bible. And as we apply the metaphors and the analogies of the Bible, places that are geographical in the Bible are not geographical to us. They're places that we're at in our life. They're places that we're at in our minds. And I want to consider the particular place that's mentioned in Psalms 23 and verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Pastor preached on Sunday in the morning and in the evening about a geographical place, that road to Emmaus. It's a place. The condition that those two that were on that road and in that place in the Bible, we can identify with at times in our life. We can identify with the conditions that they felt dwelling in those places. And we look at these different places and destinations and waypoints that the Israelites and different ones passed through, and we see their pains and their struggles and the emotions that came over them as they went through those places that they went through, and we can learn from those things. And as we look at this one here, the valley of the shadow of death, the dictionary defines the word shadow as when the rays of light are cut off by some obscurity, by some opaque object. When the rays of light are cut off. And there are times in our lives that we go through places when the rays of light are cut off. Things are dark. Things are obscure. It's very similar to the place that was preached about on Sunday, that road to Emmaus. What a discouraging and confusing time in those two individuals' lives and all of the disciples. How confused they must have been when Jesus Christ was dead. What a difficult time for them. What a perilous time. What a time of doubts and fears and confusion and temptation and many things that were upon them at that particular time. Another definition of a shadow in the dictionary is to conceal the sun. I thought that was an interesting one, to conceal the sun. There's times in our life different places that we end up that we can't sense God's presence. We can't figure out His working. It's not clear. It's not apparent. We can't see it. We know it's still there, but we can't We just can't feel it. We just can't feel anything. We can't put our finger on it. In this place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, I want to consider, first of all, obviously, it's a place of darkness or obscurity. And whenever we think about a shadow, it's a place of darkness and obscurity. Next, we can deduct from the passage that evil is there. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." It's a place of evil. It's a place of stumbling, a place of darkness, a place of temptation. You know, whenever you go through a time in which you cannot sense the presence of God, you cannot figure out what God is doing in the world, and you begin to look around and you begin to have doubts and fears begin to arise and Satan begins to implant doubts in your mind and thoughts in your mind, it's a very dangerous place. It's a place when you might fall. It's a place when you might give in. It's a time that you might give over. It's a very dangerous time when you're at a time that you cannot sense the presence of God, in a time that you can't understand and see His working because something has overshadowed that. It's a very dangerous time. When we consider this concept of a shadow, there's something between you and the source of light. There's something there. There's an object. There's an object that's casting the shadow, and in this case, the object is death. It's a near-death place. And perhaps death is on its way. Maybe not. I believe you can be in the valley of the shadow of death and not die. You can be overshadowed and in a very dangerous place in your life. So being that it is the shadow of death, we will say also that death is near. You know, as we go through discouraging and difficult times in our life, we may be near death just because of our own mental estate. Death may be near. We read of the prophet of in the Old Testament, and he wished that he could die. He just longed that he said, "It is enough. Let me die." Turn with me to Job chapter 24. This phrase, the shadow of death, it appears a number of times in the Bible, and we'll just say a few things about it and then make some application after we read a few of the places that it occurs. Job 24, and let's back up to verse 15 so we can understand what he's saying. It says, "The eye of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, No eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they mark for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death." In other words, the adulterer fears being caught. He fears his life being revealed and brought into the light. And so he fears the morning as one would fear the shadow of death. And this verse speaks of the terrors of the shadow of death. When we walk through these low places and these dark places of our life in times of obscurity, in times of that we cannot sense the presence of God, there it is a time of terrors. The shadow of death is a place of terrors, of fears, things that anxieties that grip you and hold you down. Just as the adulterer fears his imminent doom, the place of the shadow of death has that overwhelming fear. And it's used as an analogy here in this passage. Psalms 107, pastor preached from there as well recently. We see that the phrase again in Psalms 107 and verse 10, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death being bound in affliction and iron. It's a place of bondage and a place of affliction. It's a place, as pastor's been preaching, that you get stuck. Being bound in affliction and in iron. Notice here we're given why this particular individual is in that case. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. We'll see later on that this isn't the only reason that we end up in the valley of the shadow of death. It's not the only reason. Sometimes the shadow of death is just a part of our journey. Some of the places, when we think of these places that we end up in the Bible, some of these places are just places that we just end up. And some of them are places that we go to. You know, everywhere we go in our life is not a destination that we chose, but sometimes it's where we are. It's where we end up. In this particular case, they were in this place of terror, this place of bondage, this place of fear, because they rejected the Word of God. And it is a danger because of that. And because they had rejected the Word of God, he brought these particular ones into this place, this shadow of death. Verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, there was none to help. The shadow of death is a lonely place. There was none to help. It's a very discouraging place. It's a place that you may come to mentally or emotionally where you feel like nothing works. It's a discouraging place. There's none to help. Psalms 44. And we'll read a number of verses here, beginning with verse 9, to get a sense of all that the writer is feeling. He says, but thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. What we try to do, Lord, you don't help us. You've left us to ourselves. That's that feeling of being eclipsed from the rays and the presence of God. Thou hast cast off, put us to shame, goeth not forth with us. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors. There are times that God's people are allowed to seemingly be a reproach. Seems as though at times, if we were to just take a little snapshot, just a photo of our life, it looks like we've been abandoned. If we were to just take one frame out of the movie and out of the video, it looks like we've been abandoned. It looks like we've been deserted. It looks like the world is won. It looks like Satan is won. And it seems that way. This is the way it appears. Verse 14, thou makest us a byword among the heathen, the shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me. And the shame of my face hath covered me, for the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this is come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. All of this has come upon us, and we've been obedient. It's a confusing time. Notice what he said there, verse 15, my confusion is continually before me. I don't understand. I've tried to live for you, Lord. I thought we could avoid these dark places. I thought we could avoid these difficulties. for all that we've sacrificed, for all that we've done. Lord, I thought that that was a way around this place. And we feel like that at times. And when we feel like that, we're in a dangerous place. We're in the shadow of death. We're in a place that Satan is present to take an advantage of us. We're a place of doubt and fear and stumbling. Verse 19, Thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. The previous verse is describing that place, what that feels like. We mentioned before that sometimes we get there because of the choices we've made in our lives, and sometimes we're just there. It's just part of the journey. The shadow of death sometimes is just part of the journey. And that makes it even more confusing and discouraging. It makes it even more of a dark and low place. A time that the sun is concealed. A time that it's, you know, as the shadows come over the land, it becomes very cool, very dark. Psalms 55, we're not too far away. And all of Psalms 55, I spend a lot of time in the Psalms. All of it is worth reading, but we won't read it all. Psalms 55, 1, Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. He's gripped with the feeling of distance, of separation between him and God. He says, Give ear, hide not thyself. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. That place, David talks many times about the terrors of death being on him. Number of passages, Psalm 116 and 2 Samuel and his song that he sings after being delivered from Saul, speaking about those terrors of death and having those upon him and being stuck in them. A couple more passages, Jeremiah chapter 2, and after we read a few passages, then we'll just look at a little bit of application about these things. Jeremiah 2 and verse 6. Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits? Again, all kinds of places that they journeyed through on their journey. A land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. There's a lot in that passage to look at, but all I wanted to bring out for the moment was Israel's journey from Egypt to the promised land. Just a part of that, was the shadow of death. There were many places they went, but just a part of that. It was not a chosen destination. It was just a part of that. As you look at their journey, as you look at their affliction and the times that it seemed as though they were forsaken, and yet God was always there and always working. It was just a part of their journey. They had not chosen it. They had not gone there for any particular reason other than it was God's purpose and God's plan to bring them through that. Another passage, Isaiah 9, verse 2. And then we'll move to some application. And This passage is a prophecy about the time in which Christ would come to the earth, to his people. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Israel, God's people at the time of Christ's coming, was prophesied to be a land of the shadow of death, a land of obscurity. The time of darkness in Israel's history was the time in which Christ came. So what is the application of some of these things? We've looked at this land. We've looked at it as a place of darkness, a place of discouragement, affliction, weariness. It's a time, it represents a time in our life that we may be in because we've sinned, but we may be in just because it's just part of our journey. It's a low time, it's a dark time in which we cannot sense the presence of God. But I want to look at a few things in the Bible. I want you to turn back to Psalms 23 where we began. And David said in verse 4, "Yea, even to the far extent that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Keeping your finger there, I want to turn to Matthew chapter number 4, referring again to the time in which Christ came to the earth and the condition that Israel was in when Christ came to the earth. This is a reiteration of the prophecy that we read in Isaiah chapter 9. It's given back to us again in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, all the while keeping your finger in Psalms 23, Israel was said to be this people in verse 16, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Again, a prophecy about Christ coming to the earth, manifesting himself. But the word that I want to pull out of Matthew chapter 4 and Psalms 23, the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And in Matthew chapter 4, we see these people that sat in the region of the shadow of death. They were a people, Israel was a people that had settled in there. They had settled in the land of the shadow of death. You know, there is a strong temptation when things become difficult, when things become discouraging, to just sit down. I mean, I'm one of those people. It takes me a while to get up. I'm one of those people that I want to sit in my discouragement. I want to wrap myself in my discouragement, and it's too painful for me to be encouraged at times. But I want to contrast the psalmist there with Israel, and he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Two words there, walk through. Compare that to Israel at the time of the coming of Christ was a people that sat in. A big difference between walking through, it's setting in. Again, we may all go through very dark times in our life, times that are very discouraging, very confusing, times of great affliction, times of great fear, great doubt, where we doubt almost everything that we've ever known. But don't sit down there. If you're a child of God, take encouragement from the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Job chapter 23, another passage that speaks about the shadow of death. Job 28. In Job 28, there are several verses here that speak of boundaries. And verse number 3 says, "He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death." They have an end, or in other words, they have a boundary. They have a limit. As the psalmist said, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It has a definite boundary. It has a definite limit. In other words, it does have an edge, though when you go into it, it feels like it's just all-consuming. It feels like it's eternal. It feels like it's forever. It feels like it's the end. It's destruction. You just want to die there. You know, I remember as a young boy, we traveled out west. And traveling out west, sometimes you just get where it's just flat for hundreds and hundreds of miles. You can see across the plain in every direction for hundreds of miles. And you can see the shadows coming from the clouds. You can see them for minutes, sometimes hours, before you get to them. And they seem so small because you're zipping along in the car, you're moving, and you come into one, and then you go out of one. You know, but when you're in the hilly and wooded country, you know, a shadow comes over and it's just as far as you can see. If you're out in the woods or if you're in the wilderness or when it comes over you, it just seems like it's there forever. When a rainy day comes, you know, sometimes in Michigan it seems like it can rain for a month. It just seems like there's no end to the clouds floating over the sky above. But in Job 28 and verse 3, he setteth an end to darkness. It has a definite boundary. A shadow has an edge to it. A shadow has a boundary, and just as you came in, you'll go out. It has a boundary. Amos chapter 5 and verse number 8. There are numerous other scriptures speaking of the shadow of death. Job, as he was going through his trial, he said, "The shadow of death is upon my eyelids. That shadow is cast upon my life at this time." Amos chapter 5 and verse 8. "Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. Seek the creator of all the constellations and all the things in our sky. The creator of all forms of light." I like that ETH there. If you have a King James Bible, it brings a sense that you cannot get in anything else. It brings a sense that this is what he does continually. That ETH, this is just what he continues. He is continually in the business. He maketh. He is continually in the business. Notice the next word there after the comma, "and turneth." He's continually in the business of turning the shadow of death into the morning. He's continually in that business. He turneth. I'm glad it didn't say he turns, he turned. It says he turneth. "He turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Amos says, seek him. Seek the one that makes light, that made all the constellations and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. So just three applications there. We saw in Matthew chapter 4 that there's a difference between a people that walk through and a people that are sitting there. Sitting in and walking through, there's a difference. It's very tempting to sit down. It's very tempting. From time to time, my wife will look at me and say, "How you feel there around the juniper tree?" She can see it on me. And I just want to hold on to it. I don't want to leave it. I just want to stay there. I don't like to come out from it. Once I've gone in, it takes a lot to get me there, but once I'm there, I'm there. I'm camped out. There's a difference between the people that walk through. Keep moving. Keep moving. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Just keep moving. There's great victory in just keeping moving. There's a lot of victory there. Next of all, I would encourage you that it has a boundary. God has set a boundary. It's not all of life. It's not all-consuming. It's not an eternal shadow. It's not necessarily destruction. Keep moving and seek the deliverer. 1 Samuel 22, Psalms 116, Psalms 18, Job 12, all passages that speak of Him delivering us from the pains and the terrors of death. Lastly, what place are you in? There's many places in the Bible. Perhaps one of these days, Pastor will preach a series on places. There's many places in the Bible. He preached on places we get stuck. There are many places. Are you ready to leave whatever place that you've been in? The psalmist, as he spoke of all of those places back in Psalms 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Are you ready to stop being the leader of your life? And to move to another place, he came to Abraham and he said to Abraham, "Get thee out. Leave this place, Abraham. Do you hear him calling you? I've taken great pains in my life to make sure that I'm geographically in the place that God would have me to be geographically at all times. I want to be in the church that He wants me in. I want to be in the town He wants me in. I want to be geographically where He wants me to be." But, you know, that is very much secondary to being in the right place spiritually. And many times it's overlooked. Many times we don't even consider it. He told Israel to arise, take your journey. Go, arise, go. We've seen the journey of the prodigal son. We can be prodigal and never ever leave our pew. Be prodigal right on our pew. I've been prodigal right on my pew many times. There's a lot of places we go without ever going anywhere. There's a lot of geographical places we should not go. But you don't have to worry about going to those places if you don't go to the wrong places in your spiritual life, in your heart, and in your mind. And I can tell you for sure, if you go to the wrong places there, you'll end up in the wrong places in this world. There's a lot of places in the Bible, and we just looked at one of them that is discouraging. But seek Him that turns the shadow of death into the morning.